I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Amen. Shall we put our hands together? And as We rise up and welcome Apostle Joel. Amen.
Wow. What a blessing. Put your hands together again for DJ. Hallelujah. We're beginning to have some serious stars in the church. Amen. Okay, let me just get this thing working properly so I don't get strangled while I'm preaching. You want to hear me, but you need to hear me alive, right? Okay, so put this behind me like that. And then let me just, yeah. Forgive me for undressing before the... All right. Okay, are you ready for a prayer? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And thank you for what you have given us on the Lord's table today. We pray, Lord, that you will anoint the preaching, teaching, explaining of your word in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will anoint the hearing, the comprehension, and understanding of your word in the name of Jesus. May we be receivers of the word and doers of what we hear and not hearers only. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. We just concluded an amazing Honor Your Prophet month, right? Clap your hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. And as I said to you last week, Honor Your Prophet is something we will always do. Amen. It's actually a relationship we must have. It's an attitude we must have. It's not necessarily a season to observe. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like obeying your parents or honoring your parents. It's not like obey your parents month, you know. Obey your parents month is just for maybe emphasis. Do you understand? But when obey your parents month is over, you're supposed to obey your parents still. Amen. So I'm looking forward to us continuing with an attitude like people who have been brought up well, like people who have been taught and who know the right thing to do. Amen. And whenever the opportunity comes round again for us to honor our prophet, to honor our founder, there shouldn't be much talking, much encouragement. You should just know what to do. Amen. You should just know that this is right. And it's the right thing to do. Amen. So I hope you were blessed by the series of messages we shared during that season. And they're all available on the podcast. And also, I hope that all of you by now have his podcast, right? How many do not have Bishop's podcast? Everybody, 100% in our church, we must have his podcast. Amen. You need, if God gives you a prophet, you need to hear his voice. And technology, like I was sharing with you last week, is a blessing to spirituality. You see, it helps you to stay spiritual and to do the things you are supposed to do. Today, people are getting degrees through technology. People in California go to school in Arizona right in their apartment. Isn't that amazing? Would you say their degree is fake because of that? Yeah. So same thing. The anointing is powerful, whether you were at the meeting or not. Technology connects you to it, and you can experience today what was experienced back then, yesterday, whenever it was that the meeting took place. And so you rob yourself. You really do yourself a huge disfavor if you do not connect to the grace of God made available through the podcast. Amen. So I really want to emphasize that everybody, when you call someone in the church, you call your friend, just check, do a spot check, say, hey, do you have the podcast? Right? Now, having it is one thing, but listening to it is step two. Amen. So if you have food and you don't eat it, you're going to die just like the one who doesn't have food. Do you see what I'm saying? So don't just have the podcast, listen to it. Amen. And, you know, one of the things I learned from Bishop Saki is how that he has his quiet time on Monday mornings with whatever message Bishop preached on Sunday, right? Because he's not in the same church, so he's not there to hear it. So he's just looking for the podcast. And once he gets the podcast, Monday morning, he spends the time waiting on the Lord, going through the scriptures, listening to the message, and being blessed as though he were at the service. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's a great thing to do, and I think that we should all adopt that. What do you think? Is it a good thing? Yeah, so Monday morning, as you're having your quiet time, whatever was preached yesterday, that should be your quiet time. And just go through it, take some time, pray with the message, and be blessed and enriched by the message. Say amen. Amen. Right. Now, before we went off into Honor Your Prophet Month, I had started sharing with you from losing, suffering, sacrificing, and dying. Hallelujah. Now, believe it or not, this is one of the most powerful books we have up here on this rack. Amen. And I know that today, the way Christians have been, or Christianity has been presented, none of these words are popular in Christianity. But we need to be people who want to be balanced in our understanding and use of the scriptures. Hallelujah. And so we have to teach the full counsel of God. Amen. And not just say what pleases us or what we'd like to hear. Hallelujah. Or what is nice to hear. How many understand what I'm saying? Right. So we're going to go back to this series. I think I'd like to share maybe a message or two before I move on to another series I plan to share with you. So you see, there are lots of messages to share. Hallelujah. Look at that. A whole rack of messages. You can't finish learning them. Amen. All right. Did we pray already? Okay. So I'm sharing with you today from chapter 5 of this book. And it says, why God wants you to experience suffering. You get it? Why does God want you to experience suffering? Why does God allow you to experience suffering? Now, I don't have to tell you that God allows you to experience suffering. You have to ask me, why have you been suffering in spite of God being in your life? Isn't it? Because sometimes we are baffled. If you have been a Christian for any serious length of time, you will have that question on your mind. And if you haven't yet, then sooner rather than later, you will find yourself asking that same question. You will say, but I go to church, but I read my Bible, but I pay my tithe, right? But I do what? I fast 3 times a week. Oh, by the way, and in this coming week, we're going to fast 3 times. Okay. If you don't like it, blame Pastor Charles, because he just said something that reminded me. Amen. So this coming week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're fasting. Amen. Just mid-year fasting and praying and seeking the face of the Lord. And praying for the church, praying for ourselves, praying for the members is a very good exercise. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Charles, for that one. Amen. But prepare. Some people might throw stones at you after service. Yeah. Okay. But what I'm saying is that as a Christian, you would find opportunity or have the occasion to question and wonder why certain things are happening to you in spite of doing everything that you've been taught to do, which is supposed to eliminate the things you're experiencing. How many have had such questions before? Raise up your hand. In truth, just raise up your hand. Wow. Everybody. Wow, that makes my message very relevant. Right. So let's begin from Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. It says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Hallelujah. Amen. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Hallelujah. Amen. Then there's another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, right? "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Huh? So an appointment has been made for you to experience some affliction at some point in your life. Amen. Now we either want to believe the scriptures or make up our own fantasies about what to expect in Christianity and then walk in it only to experience disappointment. Hallelujah. Every Christian is bound to experience some afflictions. And the understanding you have, or the backdrop against which you receive or go through your afflictions, determines the outcome and how you turn out after those afflictions. Many Christians are very, very much shaken by the afflictions and the difficulties they go through. And when it's over, you can't find them anymore. Some of them are disappointed in the Lord. Some of them don't want to serve God anymore. Some of them come to a place and they conclude that it's all fake. It's not real. You know, they conclude that God is not who they have thought him to be. That God does not bless. God does not help. You know, and so much disappointment. And of course, if you are serving a God that you don't believe in, and a God you think is making you suffer or go through some difficult times or things like that, it's going to be difficult to keep serving him and to serve him with fervency. Do you understand? If your attitude towards Christianity is that, you know, this whole thing, you know, I wonder, because I've been going to church, I've been serving God, but how come so much suffering? Then you're going to find out that going to church will be so difficult for you. You will not see the point, because for you, church is a victory place, isn't it? Church is a place of breakthroughs. It's a place of joy and happiness, and nothing bad happens to anybody in the church. Are you getting it? But I have to say to you that if you continue being in the Lord, you will find out that your theology about God and how he relates with his people will soon be challenged. Amen. By the experiences you go through, in spite of fasting, in spite of praying, in spite of tithing, in spite of all the good things you do, you will find out that there are some painful experiences that you will go through as a Christian. Hallelujah. But God is going to take us through, and God will be with us. He has promised to be with us. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right now, I need to make a distinction. Excuse me. I need to make a distinction between this kind of suffering and suffering that people go through because they deserve it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what do I mean by they deserve? Because there's a scripture. You see, in 1 Peter, I think I need to show you the Bible properly, isn't it? Okay, so let's read that scripture. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter actually, 1 Peter, have you found it?
Yes.
Chapter 2 and verse 20. Well, maybe we can start from verse 18. It says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." Isn't it? So there are two kinds of masters or two kinds of bosses, good and gentle bosses, and then froward, you know, some way bosses, isn't it? Right. Then verse 19, "For this is thankworthy," right? "If a man for conscience towards God endure grief," right? "Suffering wrongfully." Okay, so there is a kind of suffering you go through, it's wrongful, do you see? And the Bible says, if you endure it for conscience towards God, then he says, this is thankworthy. That means you should even be given thanks for it, isn't it? Verse 20, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Do you see what I'm saying? Right? So the kind of suffering that is acceptable with God is the suffering that you go through and you haven't done anything. You don't see why. You can't explain why something like that should happen to you, and yet it's happening to you. You see, and the Bible says that is something to be happy about. Then he says, the other one, if you do wrong and you suffer for it, he says, what glory is it? There's no glory. You're not supposed to be glorifying yourself or to be glorying or rejoicing in that situation. You're supposed to say, okay, Lord, I've learned my lesson. Thank you so much for caring to teach it. And then you're supposed to move ahead. Are you getting the difference? Right. So we're talking about Christian suffering, things that people go through no fault of theirs. People go through, not because they deserve it or anything, they just can't even explain it. Hallelujah. And when you're a pastor, you come across those kinds of situations very often. You come across situations that you can't explain. You don't know what to say. You see that this one, you get it? Yeah. You don't know how it comes to be. But thank God that he has not left us without understanding. Can I have an amen? Amen? He hasn't left us without understanding. And I'm sure by the time I'm through with this, you will have more understanding about the things we go through as Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Right. Now, the other scripture I'd like to share with you is how that Acts chapter 14, verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 14, he says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith." Do you see? Exhorting means encouraging. And Paul was confirming the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue. Do you see? That probably means that those disciples were contemplating discontinuing. Do you see? They may have been going through difficulties, and he was explaining that, look, the things you're going through are not strange. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. To be able to make it and to survive in the kingdom of God, you must expect also to go through much tribulation. Now, tribulation does not sound like people are partying. Doesn't sound like some people are having a great time. It sounds like people are in great pain. It sounds like people are in great difficulty. It sounds like people are going through things that are making them question even their faith to the point of considering quitting the faith. So now the apostle is confirming their souls and exhorting them. Guys, you need to continue. Don't stop. Keep coming. Keep coming to church. Come to the prayer meeting. Keep joining the fast. Don't question. Don't stop. Just keep coming. Don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. That is a pastor's job too. Amen. You have to exhort people to continue in the faith, in spite of sometimes strong pressure to give it up. Hallelujah. I was thinking this morning, there must be a reason why the Holy Ghost is called a comforter. Now, the Holy Ghost is someone that only Christians can have. There is no unbeliever who has the Holy Spirit. So if he is a comforter, he must be a comforter to those who have him. And who are those who have him? Christians. In the book of Acts, Paul went to, I think came across some believers, and he was asking them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's like, you believe. And then the next level is to receive the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is not for unbelievers. Do you understand? There are people who need comfort, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And comfort, the word comfort is to, look, somebody tell me the meaning of the word comfort. Just look in your dictionary and tell me what it means to comfort someone. Hallelujah. Let's understand the scriptures properly. What does it say over there? A state of what? Physical ease. Restraint from pain or constraint, right? You have a different one? Great. The easing or alleviation of a person's what? Feelings of grief or distress. That is one of the main things. What Jesus called him when he was leaving, he said, listen, the comforter, I'm going to send you a comforter. As he was going, he said, the person who is coming, name is Comforter. He must have been hinting them on what was going to happen after. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like you're going to do a job and someone says, don't worry, you just keep, just go do it. I'm going to bring you some Tylenol. Wow. The person is also telling you what to expect and what kind of job this job is going to be. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there must be a reason why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Do not be surprised if in the course of your time as a Christian, you need the comfort of the Holy Ghost, which is the alleviation of what? Of what? The easing or alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress. That's not even taking it away. It's just making it manageable. Do you understand? Easy to bear. This message I'm preaching, to me, is one of the most practical messages because I'm talking about your life and you know what I'm saying is true. Yeah. You know what I'm saying is true. You know that not everything has gone away just because someone prayed. Is it true or not? Yes. You know that not everything has gone away because you made a confession. A lot of things do go away with prayer. And I believe in prayer. And if you were to tell me about something, or if I was to see you going through some difficulty, the first thing I'll do is to pray for you. I quickly pray for people. That's what I know. I know that the solution is in prayer. The Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your... So if you haven't prayed, you don't even have a right to complain. Do you understand? You don't have a right to complain if you have not prayed about the issue. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. So God wants us, our first stop in every matter is to pray. You have to pray about it. Pray about everything. Do you understand? Now, beyond prayer, that is when the comforting starts to kick in. Hallelujah. Many times what we need is comfort. We need the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit to ease or alleviate the feelings of grief. Do you understand? Or distress, to make it softer, to make it easier, to go through it in a way that leaves you not destroyed by what you're going through. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Pain management. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is another verse, Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Look at Isaiah chapter 61 from verse 1. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. So preaching of good things is also by the anointing. So if you're in a church and the pastor is saying good things all the time, you are not in the wrong church. Amen. If the pastor is making positive confessions and speaking the truth and making declarations on your life, you are in the right place. You are under the right anointing. Hallelujah. He said, preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, you know. So everybody gets a share. Then he says, to comfort all that mourn. Do you see? To comfort all that mourn. Then verse 3 is the one that got my attention, when he repeated and says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. The guy is in Zion, but he's mourning. Do you see? Yeah, Zion is the church. So he's in the church and says, to give to them beauty for ashes. And then the oil of joy, special treatment for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning, then the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Can I have an amen? Amen. So the good news is that your suffering, your mourning, and the things that bring you pain are not going unnoticed before the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They are not going unnoticed before the Lord. God knows exactly what you are going through, and his aim is to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. Because some of the things that make God's people cry are not things that will just go away. See, this apostle, we can go through scripture after scripture after scripture. Paul said that one time he got something he describes it as a messenger of Satan. He said a messenger of Satan that was released into his life. And the word he uses is buffeting. Do you get it? The thing was buffeting him. Do you understand? Then he said, three times I sought the Lord. Three times I went to the Lord. Three times, you know, he remembers three seasons of his life where he went to God in prayer about this matter. And then the answer that God gave him was that my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah. There are two ways to solve the problem. Like if you're buying something that's too expensive, two ways to solve it is the seller reduces the price or you come up with more money. Both of them will put the thing in your pocket. One of God's ways of solving things is just to step up your grace for coping with it. Not to reduce the thing that you're going through. Not to take it away, but to supply grace to go with it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if I give you a gift of a pair of shoes, or I give you money to afford a pair of shoes, it's the same thing. Isn't it? And God gives grace for going through sufferings and going through the things that we must go through. Hallelujah. Is the message making sense to you? Or you don't like this message? Well, you don't have to like it. Amen. Right? But it is the word of God. Amen. How many can see it is the word of God? Yeah, it is the word of God. And we must have this understanding. Amen. Right. So he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Hallelujah. Now, let me read one more verse. One more verse with you. And then we will go on to some other things. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7. Let's start from verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Can you see that? Look, connect verse 6 to verse 7. He says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Amen. God has shined in our hearts. That means our faith is genuine. Amen. And he says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But this process, all that is happening in verse 6, is happening in earthen vessels. The treasure he's talking about is the light of God that is shining in our hearts through knowing Christ. Do you understand? But he's saying that the context is in a vessel, you know, that is earthen. The vessel is from here. It belongs here. It's subject to things that come from here. Are you getting it? He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Then he said, we are perplexed. Perplexed. Huh? What is the meaning of the word perplexed? Or perplexed. What? Confused. Right? Well, even the fact that there's an X in it means there's an unknown factor, isn't it? Because in math, when you are solving for X, it means there's something you don't know, right? So you have been perplexed means that an X has been introduced into the equation of your life and you are actually trying to solve for X, isn't it? You don't know why, you can't explain it. Do you see? You don't know why someone like you, in spite of covering all your bases, are still going through what you're going through. Does it make sense? I told you this is easy message. Easy. Easy because I know it's true. I know that you have questions on your mind. I know that you have had questions. I know you've wondered. I know you've wondered. You've wondered, why you? Because you covered all the bases. Because you did what you were supposed to do. Is it not true? So you're wondering why an X is showing up. Why is there an X in the equation? And this is the apostle. This is the apostle. Apostle Paul. This is a guy who is having visions. One time he said he was caught up into the third heavens. If I ever get to the third heavens, I would have questions. I'll bring a list with me. And I would say, Lord, since I'm here. Yeah, could you just answer these three questions for me, Lord? Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, these things have not been hidden from us. They're all in the scriptures. And the Bible says they are written for our admonition and encouragement. Amen. Because one of the devil's most powerful tools against the people of God is discouragement. Do you understand? It's discouraged to be in Zion and to keep you mourning in Zion. So he said, go back to the verse. Where is it? We are troubled on every side. Do you have the definition of perplexed? Yes. What? Puzzled. Completely baffled. Very puzzled. How many have had some puzzling situations? Raise up your hand in truth. Like puzzling. As for this one, you can't figure it out. You can't believe you're going through what you're going through. Yeah. You know, when you're going home today, go through the store and buy yourself one of those puzzles. You get it? Yeah. And you see, all of this, can you imagine? When you give children all those things, they make sense. At some point, they make sense. But they take a long time to make sense. Isn't it? Yeah. Because there's an A somewhere, and there's a Z somewhere, and a W somewhere. You don't even know that it actually spells a beautiful word. But how to decipher the word out of the puzzle? Do you understand? That's what makes you cry. Amen. So when you are crying, all that it means is that you haven't figured out the puzzle yet. You get it? But it doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It does make sense at some point. It sure will. Hallelujah. He says, bewildered or puzzled, completely baffled. Oh, man. I have seen some baffling situations, puzzling situations. I've been sometimes in people's homes. I don't have anything to say. Even one day somebody asked me, so Pastor, won't you say anything? Yeah. Person asked me, so Pastor, won't you say anything? And then I said, Perplexed. I cannot believe what I'm hearing. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. And yet it's before me. I have a shell I always run into. That shell is that I don't know everything. When I get to that point, I just accept it to enter that shell that I don't know or understand everything. But there's more to understand. Do you understand? That just because it doesn't make sense to you, doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. Before the puzzle was sold, it made sense. That's why someone sold it. Do you get it? There's a level at which all this confusion can be arranged. And suddenly it spells a beautiful word. But until we get there, we have to survive. Do you understand? You have to have sufficient understanding to survive. Amen. Right? So Paul was telling us, he says, look, I'm perplexed, but not in despair. Despair is the state that people enter and they just give up. Huh? They just give up. They throw their hands in the air and they say, whatever should happen. So what the scripture is saying is, get perplexed, but don't allow yourself to get to that place of despair, because it does make sense at some place. Does it make sense to you now? Yeah. Some people even take their lives because from perplexed, they enter into despair. From being perplexed, not understanding, they just enter into despair. And sometimes if you were to talk to someone, you will see that even what sounds so perplexing to you is not so perplexing after all. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why excessive privacy is dangerous. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? To be excessively private and secretive. You see? And to make every matter a confidential matter. I mean, how can every matter be a confidential matter? All your files are confidential. You don't have any files in the public domain. Every file in your life needs a password. Why? Speaking about passwords, recently I was reading an article about a password. Oh, people were saying, now we put passwords on too many things. And then the person gave three examples of people who died. One of them, I think she was having a heart attack or something like that. And her child came to find her having a heart attack. Child wanted to call, one of the relatives, I think. You know, and when she picked the mom's phone, the phone had a password on it. You know, there were three instances. I forget the other stories, but it was a similar thing. That someone who could help you, you know, cannot help you because there's a password. Same thing with our lives. Same thing. Yeah. Too many passwords on our lives. Too many. There's a password on your marriage, password on your relationship, password on your finances, password on your health. Meanwhile, the things are not as perplexing as you think. But we need a pin. When you find a pin, you change it. You put a new one all the time. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you need to get rid of some of those passwords. Yeah. And be more open. Hallelujah. Verse 9, he says, we are persecuted. But it doesn't mean we are forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Hallelujah. Persecuted is when people say bad things about you or make you go through things because of what you believe. When you start losing friends because of what you believe. Amen. Because persecution usually produces a forsaking. People walk away from you and people do not want to associate with you. Even people leave churches when unbelievers start saying bad things about their pastor. You wonder, what does an unbeliever know about who a good pastor is? You think about it. You think about it. What does an unbeliever even understand about what a pastor is supposed to do? You don't go to church. You've never been to church in so many years. How do you know so much about what a pastor is supposed to do, such that you're able to confidently judge and say which one is a good pastor and which one is not? You hardly know anything about a church. And yet, it's sad to see how many believers, you know, are guided by the opinions of unbelievers in their selection of a church, in their determination of which man of God to follow, in who is a man of God, etc., is guided and shaped by someone who has no understanding about even how people get to be a man of God. We should be judging the world. We should be teaching the world. We should be telling the world a whole lot of things. But now it's in reverse, and they are the ones who are telling us who is a good pastor, who is a good, which one is a good church. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. They take captions. Sometimes they go to listen to a preacher, and they just section off a part of his sermon. Yeah, and they start playing it all over the place. They put it on radio. They put it on WhatsApp. And it's circulating around. The preacher said this. And they miss the context. Yeah. They miss the context. And you know, sometimes the context is the sermon. It's in the rest of the sermon. Sometimes the context is actually even outside the sermon. It's in a broader sense. Yeah. Do you get it? It's actually in the relationship.
Yeah.
And other times the context is actually in who he's talking to.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's saying what he's saying because of who is there.
Yeah.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are persecuted. And then it triggers a falling away. And people fall off. But the Bible is teaching us that when we are persecuted, it should not lead to this. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Yes. When people, when you hear people, well, a lot of people say a lot of bad things about our church. Yeah. A lot of people say a lot of bad things about our church. But it must not shatter your confidence or shake your confidence or affect what you believe. Because unbelievers do not choose your church for you. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Now, here's one of my favorite parts, which is to be cast down but not destroyed. Hallelujah. This is Paul describing his experiences. And he said that, look, I've been cast down. I've had times where I've been cast down. But it wasn't the end. Amen.
Amen.
So you may be cast down, but you must know that you are not destroyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Cast down, but not destroyed. Means there's still hope. It means there is hope. Things can get better and will get better. Hallelujah. Imagine after going through all this, today we still have Christianity. This is the guy who planted all the churches that have been planting churches that have been planting churches up to. Now it's our turn. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. This is the fellow who started planting the churches. And he was saying that he was cast down at some point. But he was not destroyed. Hallelujah. There are days when you need to say to yourself, you know, I'm cast down. But I'm not out. I'm not destroyed. There's still life in me. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's still life in me. There's still life in this relationship. There's still life in this marriage. There's still life in me. There's still hope in my career. Something good is going to happen. I'm going to start again. I'm going to rise up because I may be cast down, but I'm not out. I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it making sense? Oh, I like this message. Wow. It's a blessing. Amen. Right. So, it is important for us, you know, to have a balanced perspective on these things. Amen. And I believe that if we do, we'll be able to handle these difficulties we go through properly. Amen. Now, what are the reasons why God wants his people to experience suffering? Number one, God wants you to experience suffering because it pleases Him. Yeah. It's shocking, isn't it? Yeah. That some things that God's people go through, it pleases Him for them to go through that. Amen. It pleases Him for His people to go through certain things. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10. I should drop this scripture very quickly before you get confused. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Can you see that? Huh? Yeah. There is no joyous bruising. There is no such thing as an enjoyable bruising. Right? Because a bruise by its nature is painful. It causes pain. And so some painful experiences are allowed by God. And it pleases him means He's okay with it. Does it make sense? That he's okay with it. Yeah? Some of you are parents, and sometimes you watch your child cry, and you're okay with it. You can cry. When I was a kid, sometimes be crying, and then someone will come and check, and they'll ask, "Have you finished? Have you finished?" Yeah, they were expecting you to continue. It's like, I have more stamina for your crying than you can cry. I'm surprised it's ended so soon. Some people do it. They restart the crying. Yeah. Some parents restart the crying. It's like, it just ended. It means what I was doing with you didn't go far enough. Come on, here's some more. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you shouldn't be surprised. Amen. He says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What is going on here is being called also the pleasure of the Lord. Do you get it? But you can see there's something good in there. His soul is an offering for sin. Do you understand? His soul is being exchanged for sin. In other words, his soul is being allowed to be bruised and all that, so that sin will be atoned for. Do you understand? I mean, today, we all like the result of Christ's suffering, because it is the suffering of Christ that has brought us here. Do you understand? Yes. And he will see his seed, and he will prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he has put him to grief. Now, Bishop gives a very interesting example here that I thought I should read to you. He says, have you ever wondered why the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was described as a sweet smelling, or as sweet smelling to God? Then it says, as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, right? Then it says, you would have thought that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross would present a detestable, disgusting, repugnant scent to the Lord. Yet he calls it a sweet smelling savor, just like it's being called here, the pleasure of the Lord. Right? Then he says, amazingly, it pleases God for you to experience some suffering. I thought of the verse, it pleased the Lord to bruise him and said to myself, this must be a mistake. How could the Lord be pleased to bruise Jesus? How could God be happy when his son is suffering? Which parent will be happy for his child? Yet I remembered when my children were going to boarding school. I knew they were going to encounter certain things they had never experienced before. I knew they were going to scrub, weed, work like never before. They would have to get up early and work to a certain routine. I also knew they were going to suffer at the hands of wicked seniors. And yet I was pleased to send them to this boarding school. Why was I pleased to send them to this school even though they were going to experience some hardship and suffering? He says, you see, there were lessons I had tried to teach them when they were at home. Somehow, they did not seem to grasp or imbibe some of the things I was telling them. There were lessons of life I wanted them to learn. They had learned as much as they could learn from my nagging and they had learned as much as they could learn from my nagging parental instructions. It was time for the hardships of unprotected life to step in and teach them what we as parents couldn't. Do you see? Yeah. So sometimes you know it's going to be tough, but you know it's good for the person. It's good for the child. It's good for the person. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
God is the first parent. God has more children than any of us has. Isn't it? And God loves them more than any of us can love our children. There is none of us who claims to have children we love who will give one of the children up to save others. So God's love is so deep and intense and complex. We can't even match. Nobody can even attempt to say that he has more love than God. Hallelujah. So God allows some suffering because it pleases him. But remember that just because you're going through something doesn't mean that you're forsaken. Doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. Doesn't mean that God has left you. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes I've been at the mall or in public places and I've seen some parents walk away from a child because the child is refusing to come along and is throwing a tantrum in town and so on. And the parent walks away as though I have forsaken you. But how many know that they never really walk away? They never really walk away. You see, the mother would leave the child. The child would be, you know, crying and all that. And the mother, okay, you're not coming. Okay, you be here. And then the mother just pretends to walk away. But you just keep an eye on her. You try to take that child. Yeah. You're shopping and somebody is treating their child that way. And say, oh, here's a free child. And you're going to grab that child. You'll be surprised what will come after you. So I'm saying that to say that sometimes it may feel like God has abandoned you, but with God, there is no abandoning of his children. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you know the price that Jesus paid to make you a child of God, you will know that God will never abandon you. God will not leave any of his children at the mercy of the devil. He's paid too high a price to leave you to perish. Yes, God will never do that. God will not allow. He will not throw you to the devil. Say, have him. You can have him for free. The example is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ felt forsaken. Isn't it?
Yeah.
On the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he thought. 3 days after, they came from heaven to grab him from under the earth to take him back.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. He was left at the mercy of men. They did the worst that a human being can do to another human being, which is to kill him. They crucified him painfully, and then they buried him. But God never forsakes his own. And God came from above, and he came down there to dig out his Christ, raise him up, and to take him to go get him seated at the right-hand side of God the Father Almighty. Hallelujah. Yes. So God will not forsake you. It may feel painful. You may feel alone. But God will not forsake you. This is a song we used to sing. It says, he will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save. Come on, sing that again. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save. Sing one more time because he just got there. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. Lift up your eyes to you will arise again. He will come and save. Sing that part again. Lift up. Lift up your eyes to him. He will arise again. He will come and save. He will come and save you. Come on. He will come and save you. Come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Oh, up your eyes to him, you will arise again. He will come and save. Sing, lift up your eyes to him. Come on, lift up your eyes to him. You will arise again. He will come and save. Wow, hallelujah! Tell somebody you will arise again.
You will arise again.
Because he will come and save you.
He will come and save you.
Amen. Amen. If God didn't leave Jesus Christ at the mercy of humans, leave him where humans had put him, then God will not leave you at the mercy of the devil.
Amen.
He will come and save you.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. It may please him for you to be bruised for some reason just known to him. I told you, the puzzle always makes sense. That's why it's sold. Otherwise, anyone can mix up anything and just sell it. Mm-hmm. People will not find answers ever. But you can't do that.
No.
You can't sell puzzles that remain a puzzle forever.
No.
At some point, it must make sense. And I want you to know that at some point, it will make sense.
Amen.
I said at some point, it will make sense.
Amen.
Because your God will surely come.
Amen.
And he will come and save you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even Jesus found it perplexing that God would leave him at the mercy of humans. He prayed about it. He told the Lord, if it were possible, let this cup pass. But his mistake was to add, not my will, but your will be done. And Lord, the Lord said, well, if you want my will, then this thing is happening. It pleases me to have you bruised, because I know what is in there. I know what is in your bruising. I know I can see the atonement for the sins of many. Do you understand? I can see the atonement of the sins of many in your bruising. Yeah. I can see something good in this very bad thing that is happening. You cannot see it, but God can see it. Even Jesus couldn't see it. So he said, my God, why have you forsaken? What have I done? What is the reason for such disregard for my suffering and my pain? Why? What have I done? God was just quiet. Just allowed it to continue. Because he knew it was only going to last for 3 days. 1, 2, 3. Then he came and got his son. Sent some angels to come and roll away the stone. Something that humans had put in place. Because they had heard a rumor that Jesus had suggested that he might be coming out of the grave. Yeah. And they started to peddle these stories around that his disciples are going to go and steal the body. So they put the biggest boulders in the place so that this man cannot escape. But your God will surely come.
Amen.
Do you understand? Your God will surely come. He will not leave your soul. Says, thou will not leave my soul in hell. He came for his own. He will come and save you too. I say, he will come and save you too. He will come and save you too. You may not know what is in your stripes and your pain for others. But you know, we were reading a scripture in Peter. Maybe we can go back to it. And then we'll continue next Sunday. Amen. But go back to, that's 1 Peter chapter 2. We were reading that scripture. It says, what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye do take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Then the next verse. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Can you see that? Leaving us an example. Isn't it? Leaving us what? An example. Right? That ye should follow his steps. So we like to follow the steps of Christ, except these ones. Isn't it? But he suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. See, ladies and gentlemen, this is real Christianity we are talking about. We are talking about true Christianity, genuine Christianity. It's not all laughter. It's not all laughter. Do you get it? Then he says that ye should follow his steps. What are the steps? Verse next, please. Who did no sin. Didn't do anything wrong. Do you see? So if you're asking, what have I done to deserve this? You're asking the same question that Christ must have asked. He says, neither was guile found in his mouth. It was not anything he said. What have I said? Sometimes we are accused and sometimes we go through pain. And the only thing you know to say is to ask, what have I said? What did I say so wrong? Or what is wrong with what I said? What did I say? Isn't it? Then the next verse. He says, who when he was reviled reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. See, this is where we part ways. You see the thing? Yeah, this is where the following of Christ ends. I'm suffering. I'm going to show you. Yeah. No. Isn't it? Yeah. But he committed, instead for Christ, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He just said, well, I leave it in the hands of God. He knows the truth, and he will judge righteously. Can you see that? Then the next verse, right? Verse 24. Who in his own self. Now, all of this is the example. These are the steps we are to follow, right? We're just finishing the message. He says, listen, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Then he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now you start to see why it pleased God for somebody to go through pain. Because it seems his pain brought healing to some other people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that is still an example that we should follow his steps. That means there are times when you will have to go through pain that brings healing to other people. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes your life must be an example. That's why you can't afford to hide too many things. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes even in the preaching, you will have to be an example. You will have to be the example. Do you understand? And then your pain brings healing to other people. Yeah. There are some of us who have been through things, we don't want to share them. And so people needlessly go through so many things they are supposed to have been healed from. If only they would have heard your story, they didn't have to repeat that. But because you refuse to go through your pain, and you refuse to share your pain because you want to present yourself as someone who never makes mistakes, because you want to present, you want to look good all the time. You want to look like a holy person all the time. You want to look like you always get it right all the time. Because of that, you have robbed some people of their healing because you wouldn't take your stripes. So sometimes we all even need public rebuke, which will be painful for us, but will bring healing to other people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is also the same reason why when you're being advised by someone who has taken the stripes, and you won't take it, then now you're a fool. Because you want your own stripes. When you are supposed to be receiving healing from their stripes, you want your own stripes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is no need for your own stripes. Sometimes parents, they've lived a whole life. Then you have started, they've had so many stripes that can be healing for you. But you won't listen. You won't take the lessons from their stripes. And so you have to take your own stripes and offer healing to somebody else who will also not listen to you. Because that's what you sowed. So you're also going to reap it. But I see you receiving healing from the stripes. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Are you blessed today? Is it a powerful book? Is the book a powerful book? It's a very real, powerful book. And I want to recommend it. All of you should get a copy of this book and sit down and take your time and go through and study how losing, suffering, sacrificing, and dying are an integral part of Christianity. But this is what brought the most glory to Christ. This, the losing of his life, sacrificing, dying, suffering, that's what brought glory to Christ. isn't it?
Yeah.
You know the verse that says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what?
Honor.
Yeah, we used to have a song like that. Yeah. Yeah. We like the wisdom and the power and the glory and the honor and the riches. But before that, he was slain. Do you understand? So if you're going to escape all the slaying, then you don't get any of the glory and the honor and the riches and the wisdom and the power and the strength and blessing. You have to do what he did to get what he got. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. And we're going to continue next week. Amen. Don't dodge the service next week and say, when the pastor finishes preaching about suffering, send me a text message and I'll come back. I'm coming back. Because I don't enjoy this type of suffering messages and losing. It's not a message of faith. I want faith. It shall be. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Kawi, can you find that song? You know, say to those who are weary hearted, something like that. Broken hearted, do not be afraid. Yeah. Behold, the Lord is strong in his mighty hands when you call on his name. He will come and save. All right, let's start from the top. Okay. Say to those who are fearful hearted, do not be afraid. The Lord your God will come. The Lord your God will come with his mighty arm when you call on his name. He will come and save. He will come and save. He will come and save you. Come on. He will come and save you. It's too slow. Too slow. He'll come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save. Come on. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary ones, your God will surely come. He will come and save. He will come. He will come and save. Your God will surely come. He will come and save. He will come. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Lift up your eyes to him. You will arise again. He will come and save. Lift up your eyes, come on. Lift up your eyes to him. He will arise again. He will come and save. One more time, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to him. You will arise again. He will come and save. For the last time, lift up your eyes. Will arise again. He will come and save you. Why don't you bow your heads in prayer, everybody? Just today, I want you to receive strength from God for every kind of suffering, every difficulty you're going through. every pain, every difficulty, and every pain, every unpleasant situation that you are in, I want you to receive strength from God. Just lift up your hand to the Lord and pray and ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to strengthen you and God to... Just ask God to strengthen you and to give you strength and courage to go through what you're going through. Wherever you are, maybe you are listening on the podcast or you're watching us on Facebook, on the internet, I just want you to pray. Pray and ask God. Say, Lord, strengthen me and help me go through this difficult patch in my life. In the name of Jesus. Perplexing situations for which there seems to be no answer. You don't understand why it is the way it is. But just know that God will never abandon any of his own. God will not abandon his child, just like a mother would never abandon any of her children. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you for the blessedness of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, for the strength in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, for grace. That as you said to the apostle, that your grace is sufficient for him, so will you say to your people today, my grace is sufficient for you. May you pour out grace, sufficient grace, for handling every difficult situation in everyone's life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.